You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On the Friday before the May 24th long weekend, the University of Toronto quietly announced that it will close its campus during the upcoming G20 meetings. The university claims it wants to protect students from disruption caused by protests, which are to be held adjacent to the campus. Student groups say that rather than backing up its students, many of whom would be involved in the protest, the university is helping to silence dissent. To discuss this, we're joined on the phone by Patrick Vitale, a PhD student, a member of the QP3902 executive at the University of Toronto, and he recently wrote an article on this issue for the online journal The Bullet. Hi, and welcome to Red Eye.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
How will the closure affect activities on the U of T campus?
It's not entirely clear right now. The university has not been terribly transparent or forthcoming about what the closure means, so that changes depending on when you ask them. It would appear that as of Wednesday, June 23rd, I believe it's June 23rd, the campus, according to the university, will be, quote, for all intents and purposes, closed. So from that point forward, you won't really be able to access the campus at all. You will supposedly be able to walk through it, but all of the buildings will be locked. There'll be no events held on campus. Students are being moved out of their dormitories. Exams have been moved to earlier in the week. So essentially, the university will be completely closed during this time period.
I understand the university had rented out a hall for the Council of Canadians to have protest events, meeting, etc. there, and that's been canceled too.
Right, that's been canceled. It's been moved now to Massey Hall, but they were originally scheduled to be held in Convocation Hall on Friday night. There were a number of, you know, really great-looking speakers at it. It was just a forum on the G20, and the university displaced it. Also, there was activities planned for the Indigenous Day of Action, which is going to be on Thursday, I believe, Thursday the 24th. And those were planned to be held at Hart House, which is the sort of community center the student center that sits at the heart of campus, and those have also been displaced.
So the university must have given some reasons, and there must be other ideas as to what the reasons are. What was the university one?
The university's reasoning is that they are acting in the interest of protecting their faculty, student, and staff from what they think is the regrettable effect of protest, which is violence. So they argue that the designated protest area is at Queen's Park North, which is at the center of campus, and they're arguing that this is going to create sort of violent and dangerous conditions for student, faculty, and staff, so they're simply doing what is best in order to protect those people.
And what do you think are the reasons?
Well, there's quite a lot, actually. The first reason, and we don't really know how it is that the university made this decision. I'm guessing it probably wasn't the university's decision alone. They were probably given a lot of assistance from the province and the federal government in making it. And you can see now that a number of other employers throughout the core of Toronto have decided to close. So the University of Toronto was sort of the first major closure in a wave of closures throughout downtown Toronto. So now hospitals are dramatically curtailing hours and services. The legislature has just announced that they're closed. Private employers are going to close. So the University of Toronto was just the first sort of nail in the closing process. Secondly, the university seems to be interested in stifling dissent on its campus always. It has a long track record of doing this, so it seems as though they are actually interested in not having protesting taking place on campus. Thirdly, the university has traditionally served as a sort of a good space of organizing in Toronto. It was going to house a lot of activists who were going to come to the city. You can rent a dorm room from the university for about $30 a night, and all of those reservations that have been made are canceled. So essentially, the university has withdrawn a huge amount of housing from temporary housing for people who would be visiting for the G20.
And what response have you seen on the campus so far to that announcement of closure?
The response has been, on one hand, people have become really, really frightened by the university's decision, right? The university describes protesters as violent. They described sort of the downtown core as turning into this sort of, you know, hellish sea of armed protesters or something. They really are quite clear in their language that protesters present a risk to the faculty, staff, and students of the university. So on one hand, for the first time, you have this sort of culture of fear pervading the university in which, you know, staff are developing sort of a sense that they're going to be attacked by protesters or something, which is obviously bizarre. Secondly, a number of students are very displeased just by the inconvenience of all this, right? They're being asked to move out of their homes for 4 days, and they don't really think that's, you know, there's a worthy reason for doing so. And then there's a number of us who have been sort of organizing because we think this is, you know, not what we want the University of Toronto to be. We want the university to be a place where people can come together, and it will be a sort of sanctuary for dissent and debate, not a place that closes its doors whenever an event comes to Toronto.
Now, you mentioned that the university claims it's doing this to protect students, and I gather it makes some specific reference to what happened at the University of Pittsburgh last year during a summit meeting there. You were at that protest. What was your experience in Pittsburgh?
I'm a native Pittsburgher, so that's where I'm from, and I wasn't at the specific protest that was the sort of most horrible police action that took place, but I was in Pittsburgh during the G20, and I have followed it very closely. And so on the Friday night, the last night of the summit in Pittsburgh, a group of students gathered on campus, some activists and protesters as well, and they were sort of just having a peaceful gathering at this space called Schenley Plaza, which is basically a public gathering space in the middle of the university's campus. And so they gathered. There was probably like 200. They were sort of just hanging out and playing Duck Duck Goose, among other things. Really, like, there was no sort of aggression at all. And at around 10:30, the Pittsburgh police issued a sort of call to disperse. And then really only seconds later, they sort of formed a cordon around the area and just began to sort of indiscriminately arrest people. And so in the process, they arrested a jogger, three journalists, one from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, numerous just bystanders who were just watching what was going on or who were walking through the area. And it was really, it was an incredibly horrible action, one that's somewhat typical of the Pittsburgh Police Department, I might add. And then the police department sort of moved through campus and basically went on a rampage. They fired tear gas into a dormitory. Numerous students were injured. Numerous people were detained. One protester was detained in front of the Chicago Police Department that was visiting for a photo opportunity. So it was a pretty horrible evening.
Based on what happened there, what would you say the University of Toronto should have done or should do?
Well, I mean, what we saw in Pittsburgh, right, was a situation in which students were using their campus in the way that I think we would hope students would use their campus. And police came in and did incredible violence to these students and to visiting protesters. And I think that, you know, if the University of Toronto wants to prevent violence on campus, then one way to do it is to prevent the police from entering campus, from saying that, you know, that they don't support the sort of security apparatus that is coming down on Toronto and that they want Toronto to be a sanctuary for dissent and debate. And the University of Pittsburgh administration failed to do that. They sort of just left their students to be indiscriminately beaten and arrested, and that really reflects very poorly on the University of Pittsburgh, and this decision reflects quite poorly on the University of Toronto.
Do you think the University of Toronto can claim to have a democratic process, having issued its edict rather secretly and without apparent anyone else's participation?
No, I mean, the University of Toronto has never been a democratic institution, and this is just one in a long line of very undemocratic actions. It's governed by a sort of incredibly autocratic governing council that doesn't allow anyone to speak to it. This is sort of the decision body for the whole university. And yeah, no one was consulted in this decision making, and unfortunately that's just standard practice at the University of Toronto, where some very out of touch administrators sort of rule the University of Toronto has a somewhat adversarial attitude towards its students and its employees, especially those who are unionized. And, this is a sort of action that's somewhat typical of them. This is how they go about making decisions.
What organized response has happened so far on the part of the students?
So far we've issued a letter that's been signed by an incredible range of labor unions, student organizations on campus, everything from the major student organizations that represent the undergraduate students, the part-time students, and the graduate students. It's been signed by three labor unions, a number of other smaller student organizations, the Afghan Student Association, the Francophone Student Association, and a number of others. As well as, I think now, about 30 or 40 faculty members from U of T, as well as faculty members from other universities. So we've issued this letter, and as of yet, we've received absolutely no response from the university about it. Also, we have recently issued a letter calling on the university to pay casual employees. Casual employees are those who don't have a contract or who are just sort of temping in an office environment or something. And those employees stand to lose all of their wages, and so we have issued a letter calling on the university to pay those employees for their lost wages, and we've not yet received a response from the university on that either. We are planning a number of other different actions on campus around the closing, and those will sort of continue as we move along. We're sort of waiting to hear a response from the university, but we don't seem to be getting one right now.
And people listening here in British Columbia or elsewhere outside of the U of T, what actions could they take to protest the closure or help support democratic rights for the students and staff at the U of T?
Well, first off, we're hoping to have an event on campus during the G20. We're hoping to sort of actually resist this closure. And so for people who are coming from Vancouver, it would be amazing to have their support there. But more immediately, I would encourage everyone to write to the president and the provost of the University of Toronto. Their address are president.utoronto.ca and provost.utoronto.ca. And, and express your opinion about the decision to close what is the largest university in Canada for 3 days. This is unprecedented. I don't know that it's ever happened at any other summit, and it certainly has never happened in Canada.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick, for speaking with us this morning, and best of luck with the ongoing resistance to this action by the U of T.
Okay, thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Patrick Vitale. He's a PhD student in geography at the University of Toronto. He's the liaison officer for the QP3902 Education Workers Union. And he's written an article on this issue of the University of Toronto's decision to shut the campus down. And if you'd like to have a link to that, go to socialistproject.ca/bullet.